we go. Salute to NBA Nation on this Sunday afternoon. A matinee edition of NBA Weekly on the NBA Report. CP the Franchise, Alex Sartaros, Andrew Salop, the 1-2 combo in the building. On today's show, Jalen Brunson's 40-point masterclass in Sacramento. We're going to talk about it and talk about why he is deserving of all NBA honors, man. Plus, Lakers and Warriors battle for worst in the play-in tournament. And, yeah, that was a weird game, and we're going to talk about that as well and talk about what the implications are after the Warriors beat the Lakers in that game. Plus, Zion, B.I., and the Pelicans are heating up, man. We're going to get into those Pelicans and see how they might fare in a Western Conference playoffs, man. So lock in, hit that like button, hit the share button, and subscribe to the channel. Another edition of the NBA Report, man. Let's get it going. Salute, salute, salute. All right, there we go, there we go. All right, fellas, how are you feeling, man?
Feeling good, man. It's the weekend.
Yeah.
Chilling. Andrew got the hoop. I got the hoop. So, you know, it's a good weekend.
Okay. And salute to you two for being up late. You guys were on West Coast time.
Yeah.
For Knicks Nation. So, you know, shouts to you two.
Yeah, man.
Sure.
Yeah, man.
We had 2,700 in the chat just chilling with us.
2,700 in the chat last night.
What time was what time you get off there? 3 a.m., 2 a.m.?
It was far closer to. It's closer to.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
Salute. Yeah, we started about like 12:45, 1 o'clock, right?
Yeah. And people are staying up for it, so that's dope.
People were in there rocking, man. But it was a good win. Knicks won 98-91 in Sactown. Three in a row for the Knicks. But the story here was Jalen Brunson, man. 40-point masterclass, leaving Keon Ellis in his wake. Now you got Keon Ellis and Davion Mitchell trading war stories about Brunson. They traded nightmares about Brunson because he's been that good. He's been terrorizing the league. Back-to-back 40 pieces. The first Knick since Carmelo Anthony to go back-to-back 40s, and only four Knicks have done it, surprisingly. Carmelo, Bernard King, Patrick Ewing, and Jalen Brunson, man. So shout-out to JB, man. Great job by him. Great effort by the team. But we got to talk about All-NBA because he made his first All-Star team, and now All-NBA, should he be in that conversation? And that is the topic here, man. Andrew, I'll start with you, man. What do you think, man?
Yeah, because I think definitely he should be All-NBA consideration. Me and Alex even talked in the past about MVP consideration for the simple fact that he's just doing more with less.
Yeah.
I mean, Julius Randle out. There's been a bunch of injuries, right? And he just keeps getting better. When you need him most, he comes up big. He's just a winning player. Like, the stats are great. The 40-point game, the two 40-point games together are great. But in those situations, when it matters most, he comes up big, and I definitely believe he's an All-NBA player.
What about you, man?
For sure. I mean, the way he's just elevated the Knicks, man. I mean, not only from last season, this season, his performances, not having Julius Randle, as Andrew talked about, you got to give him his respect. It's now time to give Jalen Brunson his respect. I mean, we have to consider everything he's done. You've missed Julius Randle. You've missed OG Anunoby. You know, you've had guys who are just rotational players. I mean, it was Brunson and his guy, Dante DiVincenzo, leading this team for a good portion of the season, right? After January, it was just those two as the backcourt who you had to rely on to score. And so the fact that Brunson has had to rely on a shorthanded Knicks team, and still they got to 40 wins, CP. They got to 40 wins.
Yeah.
You know, two games away from being over 500 again, second season in a row with Jalen Brunson at the helm. You got to give him his respect, man. And I think the other thing, too, we have to take in consideration is that who is missing the awards for, right? He needs three more games to hit the 65-game threshold to get an award. You talk about guys like Jimmy Butler, Donovan Mitchell, a Kyrie Irving, Jamal Murray, Bradley Beal, guys who have missed, who I should say are ineligible to get awards this season. So when you look at the guard position, it's there for the taking.
Yeah, true indeed, man. 27 points per game, seventh best in the league right now. Three boards, 6.5 assists, good for 14, and he's shooting 40% from three. I mean, you got to look at, first and foremost, you got to factor winning into it. And where would this Knicks team be without him? Look how many injuries that they've had to go through. And they're still sitting there fourth in the East. They lost an all-star. An All-NBA player in his own right, in Julius Randle, and this team is still right there. right where they left off. 12th in the league in plus overall, plus minus. If you guys are into the player efficiency rating by John Hollinger, he's 18th. All right. He's 10th in VORP, value over replacement player. So those two stats, an indicator of his value to the team. He's 10th and 18th, respectively, in those categories. 40 or more points in six times this year. It's fifth most in the NBA. So I think, you know, numbers alone, I got to look. He deserves it. But also, I think what's going to help him this year is a couple things. For one, the All-NBA designations are positionless this year. So you're going from, you know, back in previous years, you have first team, second team, third team, but it's two guards, right? So you had to be the top six in your category, in your position. Now it's just 15 of the best. So I think that should help him. I also think, like you said, a couple of guys being knocked out will also help him. The 65-game rule knocks out Embiid. Spider Mitchell is out. Jimmy Butler is out. John Morant is out. So that's four guys right there that, you know, if healthy, if they would have played the whole season, would have been in consideration as well. So those guys are out. Halliburton has four games left before he's out. So that's another guy who could potentially, you know, miss that mark there. So I think, you know, if you can combine those factors, his contributions to the team, the winning factor, the numbers, the guys who aren't going to be eligible, plus the fact that you allow more players of his position, if they deserve it, to make it, I think he certainly makes a strong case, and I think he'll get it, man. Now, I want to play this clip from Zach Lowe from the Low Post podcast. Here he was with our guy Bobby Marks. Here is what Zach Lowe and Bobby Marks had to say on Brunson All-NBA. Here we go.
Scored 40 is something. It's getting undeniable at this point. He scored 40 is something again last night.
Yeah.
Is Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
I think Jalen Brunson is going to make an All-NBA team. He's played in a ton of minutes. He's had to carry this team without so many guys, and they slumped. They didn't slump maybe quite as badly as Philly, which I think is going to hurt Tyrese Maxey a little bit. But he's just an iron man. He defends as hard as possible for his size. He's super efficient. He shot threes really well. I just think his numbers merit it, and it's just going to be hard to. I mean, I'm going to bring up his numbers.
Well,
now.
Here's something to
27 a game,
yep.
6.5 assists, 48%, 40% on threes, 6.5 free throws a game, which is a career high for him. I just don't see how he doesn't make an All NBA team. Maybe I'm it gets tight for everybody. And again, I don't have a vote. And like when we talk about guys who are going to get snubbed from our tentative, very, very, very tentative list, you're going to be like, wow, that guy's not on it. But Brunson is hard to deny, man.
Against teams with a top 10 record overall in the league, 25 points, 47% from the field, 38% on threes. That's against the top 10 best teams in the league this year.
Top 10.
That's a pretty good track record. And listen, all these guys' numbers have come down post All-Star break. And I think, you know, he's certainly battling through a bunch of things like everyone else here. But man, his overall body of work
is
25 on 40. What do you say? 47 from the field and 38 from three against the best teams in the league. Numbers, bro. He's putting numbers on the board out. Put numbers on the board.
And it's telling you that he can elevate his game when playing the toughest competition, right? And look, even last night, we were playing a Sacramento Kings team, a feisty Sacramento Kings team, even though they've been up and down this season, you think, all right, you don't have Julius Randle, your second best offensive player out there. It's all on Brunson. He put up 40 plus points. The next best guy shooting out there was Dante DiVincenzo with either 12 or 15 points last night. Brunson, once again, CP, two nights in a row, had to score over 42% of the points for the Knicks in order to win. All right? That's a guy that's not only leading a team, but that's also a guy that's showing you his worth throughout the rest of the league, right? So yeah. Yeah, he should be considered for All-NBA because that's what All-NBA players do. You're supposed to be like, when you look at guys like Steph Curry, LeBron James, we already talked about those two guys because they had a showdown right last night. And when you think about those two guys, you think about, all right, these guys, when anybody's missing, whether it's like, maybe it's a Clay for Golden State, or maybe it's AD for the Lakers. These guys elevate their games to make sure that their team is still in it and are in position to either win, right? And if not, you at least know that, okay, you're always in this game. You're always in this game because this guy's on the floor. And this is where Kenny the Jet Smith has to eat some crow, because when he's like, oh, the Knicks always have the second best player. Well, the Knicks only had the best player last night against the Kings, right? You talk about, you have Sabonis, who should have been an all-star. De'Aaron Fox should have been an all-star.
Yeah.
But the actual all-star did his damn job last night and put the Kings away. So Brunson should be, you know, up there for all-star consideration. And to think that the Dallas Mavericks, and I got to bring them back up again, CP, the Dallas Mavericks let this guy go. They let him go.
Yeah. Andrew, jump in, man.
When you, like, you know, Alex mentioned that the Dallas Mavericks let them go, did you ever see this for Jalen Brunson?
Alex, you had to get an answer.
I did not see it getting to this level. I thought he'd be a steady guard. I always use the idea of, like, Kyle Lowry or even Mike Conley, guys who are good.
Yeah.
Probably if you're like Conley, you're close to being an all-star, but based on the other guards in the conference.
You're talking about like prime Conley, you're saying, right?
Yeah, prime Conley, Conley. Prime Conley, written grind Conley, right?
Yeah,
and even Lowry on the Raptors. Like, those guys are all-stars, but are those guys where you think these are altering guys? Not necessarily. Like, you look at Kyle Lowry, he needed Kawhi Leonard, right? You look at Mike Conley, he still needed Gasol out there. He needed Marc Gasol in order to, like, have a good team. And Zebo.
And Zebo, yep.
Yeah.
But when you think about Brunson, it's not like that at all. He's above those guys in his performance because he can carry these teams.
Yeah. Do you guys feel that the Knicks always get the other team's best performance? Because, like, I'm even thinking back to the Pistons game, and all these games seem like they have playoff intensity. I mean, last night was obviously a tough win because you're in Sacramento with a tough crowd. I mean, that's a great crowd. And when I'm thinking back to that Pistons game, I mean, Pistons, one of the worst teams in the league, and I know it ended off a little bit controversial, but I feel like the Knicks get the best from every team each night, and it's been really impressive to see them play this way.
You have to. For one, I think when a team is playing on the road at the Garden, they want to put on a show on the big stage. It is the Knicks. They want to upstage them. They want to be in the highlight reels and show everybody we embarrass the Knicks. But also, as you hear from players every night and coaches every night, if you don't bring your A game, if you're not ready to clash, if you're not ready to throw down, you're going to get beat up tonight. So I think a lot of that is like, yo, if we don't come to play tonight, these guys are going to kick our ass, like, straight up. You know what I mean? Physically.
Have you guys
physically.
Yeah. Speaking of that, have you guys seen a difference in officiating? Because Adam Silver came out and said, we haven't gave them any pointers to switch the way we're officiating. And on top of that, I mean, I think if they did, even if it's under the rug, I don't know what's going on, you know, behind the scenes. I think this would benefit the Knicks, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
A more physical brand of basketball, it plays right into the Knicks' hands. It's Brunson, it's Hart, you know, it's High Hart, it's DiVincenzo, OG, like, to a man, Randall. Like, that's how they like to get down. That's a Tibbs-style team. So, you know, that's only going to help the Knicks. And so I certainly like that. And I like what I saw last night in the refs really letting those guys play. It was the Golden State Lakers. It was kind of the same way. But then when you look at, like, if we look at some of the players who would be in the mix, like, remember it's 15, right? If you look at the MVP ladder, the top five guys are you can probably pencil in these five guys for first team. Jokic, SGA, Giannis, Luka, and Jason Tatum.
I don't know about Tatum.
Maybe Tatum's the iffy one there, right?
Jaylen, I know
he's iffy for you. I know he's iffy for you. We know this.
Hey, Jaylen Brown's been looking like their best player lately. I don't know.
Okay. All right. I mean, listen, I think there's a fair debate that could be had on the Celtics.
I like Brunson better than Tatum. Me personally. I like the way he plays basketball.
Me too.
Better than Tatum.
Me too.
You talk to any Celtics fans out here, though, you think Knicks fans are crazy.
Who could do more with less? You know, that's what I'm thinking. Who could do more with less?
Who has demonstrated they can do more with less?
Great. Exactly.
That's a great point. I'm also going off of, like, what I believe the voters will lean on, which is why I give Tatum the edge. And then you kind of have like that second tier, which is like I put Brunson right there, Kawhi, KD. You want to put Ant-Man in there.
Yeah.
Maybe Halliburton, you know, leader in the assists. So I think he's right there, man. I think second or third team, easily, he gets in there.
And LeBron might be ahead of some of those guys.
Yeah.
We saw LeBron last night, man. That guy is.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
Still great. Still great.
So let me go through some players for you right now and see who gets into these all NBA considerations. Let's play this game. All right. I'm going to read you last year's all NBA candidates, first, second, and third team. Obviously, things switched up, as CP pointed out. So it's not going to be the two guards, the two forwards, and the center. Right. So first team all NBA last year was Giannis, Luka, Embiid, SGA, Tatum. That's first team. Second team was Jaylen Brown, Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry, Nikola Jokic, Donovan Mitchell. That was the second team. Third team was De'Aaron Fox, LeBron James, Damian Lillard, Julius Randle, Domantas Sabonis. Now, out of that, there's not going to be Randle. You're not going to get Jimmy Butler. Let's see, who else is removed? You're not going to get Joel Embiid. You're not going to get Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Right? And then everybody else is fair game. Everybody else is fair game.
Jokic second team is hilarious.
Yeah, last year.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Which is why they had to switch it up. Like, all right, we're being ridiculous. Yeah. They lock these guys in the positions where, you know, you have this guy in the second team.
So you have four of those guys who are not going to be in it because they're ineligible.
Right.
Obviously, this season's different. So here are the all. Typically, it's very rare to not make the All-Star team and then make All-NBA. So out of the All-Star rosters, you know, I'm just looking at it right now. Do you think, like, Giannis has got to be there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's
Luka's
first.
Luka's got to be there.
First team.
Yeah. Luka's got to be there.
Yeah, the first four are, like, definite, you know?
Yeah.
In my opinion, yeah.
Those are definite. But I think, you know, that second tier, I didn't mention Steph. You throw Steph in there.
Right. Yep.
But you can argue he's not even, like, is he having, like, he's playing well, obviously. Right. But
well, where
is
are the Warriors? Where are the Warriors right now? That's why winning has to matter.
For sure. So, like, I would probably say the top MVP candidates, which would be, you know, SGA, Luka, Jokic, put Giannis up there. And, like, who else would you put up there? Who would be the last first team all NBA? Is it Tatum?
I think the voters will put him in there.
Okay.
Maybe it's Kawhi, KD. I think they'll put Tatum up there because winning. I think they will. You know, the Suns right now, they're in seventh in the West right now. I haven't been doing much. So I think.
From an individual standpoint, there's a good argument that KD's better than Tatum. Like crazy numbers, you know,
crazy efficiency
numbers, but. Yeah. You know, Tatum, you're right. I mean, from a team aspect, I mean, they've been dominating through long stretches, you know. So that's where he might get the edge in some of these debates, if you will.
Yeah, true indeed, man. What do you guys think in the chat? Leave some comments in the chat. Who do you think gets in? And will Brunson get in? And which team? Which team do you think Jalen Brunson will get in? I think he will receive that All-NBA award, and it'll be well-deserved. So shout-out to JB on that one. Great game last night, cooking the Sacramento Queens. All right, keeping it in Cali, man. Lakers and Golden State, the battle for the bottom. And this one was pretty interesting game. A lot of ebbs and flows. You saw LeBron James shoot out hot out of the gates. Lakers would lose Anthony Davis to an eye injury. And then in the fourth quarter, you had the most bizarre and boring finish where the final, 15 seconds or minute 15?
Bro, there was a halftime in the fourth quarter.
There was a halftime in the fourth quarter. I mean, Ben and J-Lo were so bored.
With two minutes to go.
Yeah.
2 minutes to go. Yeah. We had a forever review because the shot clock wasn't working.
So you had two Lakers challenges back to back. You had an official review where they rescinded LeBron James, or they called back LeBron James' three-pointer because he stepped out of bounds. And then you had four shot clock malfunctions, bro. Four. One of which the Lakers alleged that the Warriors got 28 seconds on a shot clock because it had, like, I think it had jumped from, like, 10 back up to 14. So you had all that going on, all type of theatrics going on down there in Hollywood. Ultimately, the Dubs get the victory, 128-121. 35-31 on the campaign. Lakers lose. And like I said, man, this was a contest of epic proportions because it was a battle to the bottom. And right now, the Lakers won that prize. 10th in the West right now. And Warriors jumping the Lakers based on owning the tiebreaker currently, man. So both teams with the same record, similar records. But Warriors jumping the Lakers in terms of tiebreaker, man. Al, what do you think, man?
I mean, this has just got to be sad, right? I mean, you have Steph Curry and LeBron James both in the play-in. I mean, it's great for the NBA-wise because if these two teams match up,
yeah,
one game elimination, 9-10, whoever loses, they're going home permanently. You don't get a second chance at all, right, unless you're unlike the 7 and 8 position. But it was an interesting game. I mean, the way that it ended, it just stinks that that's how it had to end, right, because it took forever. You kind of ruined the flow of the game because – that last shot clock malfunction with 2 minutes to go. You know, you take back the LeBron three because they're able to review it and do all the meticulous detail and analysis that they needed. It just ruins the game, and that's why the Warriors were able to close that one out. But it was good, you know, Steph had a slow start. He came through in the end. Kuminga coming through. Klay Thompson seems to be finding his stride coming off the bench.
Yeah, sure.
The Warriors are looking, even though they're, as you say, CP, battling for the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
It looks like they're starting to come together. To me, it feels like a team that you don't want to play in the playing category because they have that championship pedigree. They have that veteran savviness. If you're a team, and I talked about it with James Hamm on Game of the Week preview, I was like, which team would you rather want? You know, you have your history with the LA Lakers, where now you have your recent history with the Golden State Warriors. And he said neither. He said he wouldn't. If you're the Kings, you do not want to see either one of these teams in the playing category because they're too young, too inexperienced to put all of it on the line for a one-game elimination match. So Warriors, to me, they're getting right at the right time, especially with Steph Curry coming back from an injury. You thought he was going to miss a little bit more time. Doesn't have to. Comes back out there. Does the damn thing. Warriors, man. I think they're, to me, they're like that sleeper team that maybe could make a little run in the playoffs.
31 for Steph, only 3-10 from downtown, but 12-24 from the field, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Yeah, Kuminga with 23, Wiggins 16. Welcome back, Andrew Wiggins. Klay, 26 off the bench for Klay, 5-10 from downtown. You had CP3 with 8, 6, and 4. Andrew, what do you think, man?
Yeah, Klay started out really nicely. Like, he was playing with some swag. Nobody could speed him up. He was getting that shot off effortlessly, kind of like prime Klay, even though he's not moving quite the same, but he had a nice floater off the backboard. Yeah. He was amazing. And look, what more could we ask for? 40 points from LeBron, Steph Curry with 31. I mean, those two were fantastic. An absolute debacle at the end of that game, though. That was terrible. Draymond is like the funniest guy in basketball because he'll make a hustle play and run back like he dunked on somebody. Or, like, make, like, some high IQ play, and he runs down like he dunked on somebody. That guy's hilarious, bro. He's a funny guy. But, you know, the Warriors win this one, but it really comes down to that Anthony Davis injury. And, you know, availability is the best ability. He just wasn't there. So, with that said, I still do believe in the Lakers' ceiling more than the Warriors, even after this. I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment here. Like, I really do. I just think with those two healthy, LeBron could find a way to figure it out. He's still that damn good. They took away a crazy three from LeBron. Like, you know how hard it is, Alex? I don't know if you ever, like, dealt with this, but, like, maybe you're playing bully ball a little bit and then get back into finesse. It's like, he is in, like, such great shape for, like, he bullied the Warriors, like, three possessions in a row. And then that fourth possession, he runs full speed to the corner and makes a fadeaway three. And they said his foot was on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. Maybe it was on the line, but I don't think there was definitive evidence.
Bro.
But, I mean, he is still great. He's still the best player on the court. And I think if AD could stay healthy through a series, they still have the higher ceiling. Even after what I saw last night.
LeBron James is he's just ridiculous, man. He's just ridiculous. You know, 40 points, 15-23 from the field, 3-5 from downtown, 9 assists, 8 rebounds for LeBron James, man.
What I was going to say is not for sure, Andrew, that for a guy to go from bully ball and then to go finesse, it's a lot, especially if you're battling in the paint. Now you got to go back to shooting threes, trying to cross guys up.
You ever play a tough one-on-one game?
I was doing that yesterday.
I mean, and you try and bully somebody five plays in a row and then you're going to shoot some threes. I mean,
That's You're talking about what I was doing yesterday.
Yeah. And back to, you know, back to what you were doing, back to what Brunson was doing. He does a lot of that. Like, he could balance, finesse and bully really well. And that's not easy to do. You have to be in absolutely great shape to do that, especially at his age that late in the game.
Yeah. I think this is very interesting. And we're going to talk about, I want to talk about Charles Barkley's comments on the plane as well, on these two teams, the attention on these two teams. But, you know, when I watch this game, and I see these two teams, and Bob Myers said it best at the halftime report, the inconsistency with both of these teams all year has hurt them. But the reason why I'm buying the Warriors ceiling is a couple of reasons. Number one, things seem to be coming together at the right time for them. Moving Klay to the bench, the Kuminga elevation, I think, swings things for them for sure. By having a reliable wing threat out there on both ends of the floor. Youth. They needed that youth infusion. And I think between Kuminga, you have Jackson Davis who does his thing. Pozemski does his thing as well. They all contribute. I think that's going to be helpful for them in the playoffs. But for the Lakers, to me, they put themselves behind the eight ball in a multitude of ways. Number one, AD's been, I mean, if you look at the numbers, AD's played 64 out of the 68 games this year. So
shocking,
right? It was super shocking. The injury prone thing is wasn't there for him this year, but I think it's everybody else that hurts him, especially Vanderbilt. They haven't had anything out of Gabe Vincent this year. Yeah. Christian Wood, Cam Reddish. Like, I think over the injuries to their supporting cast is ultimately going to put way too much reliance on LeBron to deliver in the playoffs, and for AD to be, because AD's he's been a two-way force all year, right? But what I saw last year from them, and what I think they're going to need again this year, is that he has to play at an MVP level. Look how many people in that Nugget series are like, damn, they didn't get enough from AD. And you look at the numbers, you're like, yo, he balled out. It just wasn't enough. And I just think, you know, we have this expectation for him that he's got to, like, play almost on Jokic type level, and he just can't get there. But what he's giving them is still great, but he needs to be greater to take them over the hump, because I just don't see it from anybody else in the supporting cast. I don't trust D'Lo. I think Austin Reeves, he's okay. You know, Rui, okay. But I think it's going to be, again, too much reliance on those two guys, and especially Vanderbilt, who I think could be another, you know, versatile multi-positional defender that can help them. I think that hurts them. Secondly, what hurts the Lakers is that if they're going to be stuck in this 10th spot, they got to play Memphis on the road. They finish out the season in Memphis, in New Orleans, and then if they stay in that 10th spot, then they got to play two road games in the play-in, then do a fifth road game in round one of the playoffs. So you're talking about five straight road games, and you know your prize is maybe the Denver Nuggets in the first round. They're cooked. To me, they're cooked.
Or it could be OKC, CP.
Now that's where things get a little bit interesting.
Now, if it's OKC, that's a different story.
That's bully ball for AD and Bron. Yeah. That might be bubble Bron and bubble AD.
That's what they have to hope. And that top three is not solidified yet. It's tied right now between OKC and Denver, with Minnesota trailing behind by one game. So that the top and the bottom of the West, to me, is where, you know, you get your popcorn ready between now and the end of the season.
So let me ask you this. Who do you think has a better chance against OKC, the Lakers or the Warriors?
Both.
Lakers.
Yes.
Both.
Lakers. Both?
I go Lakers.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors, I think the Warriors, like, I would go with the Warriors with a slight edge because, once again, I go with that savviness, that veteran experience.
Yeah.
But I think it's tough for me to go full on Warriors in that matchup, because the OKC has the talent to do so. They have the talent to match. Now, if it was the Lakers, the thing they don't have is the front court depth.
They don't have.
If you're going to have J-Dub and you're going to have Chet being your 4 or 5,
that's
tough to go against LeBron
and
Chet's, AD.
I love Chet. Like, I love Chet since the draft, super high on Chet. I don't think he's ready for AD and Bron in the paint right now. And he's even better as, like, a help side defender than, like, bodying somebody up and keeping them out the paint. Like, it'll just be tough for them. And I think the Lakers actually would win that series if they stay healthy.
I think that's a key for both of these teams. You want to see the Nuggets maybe even drop down to third. And I'll be interested to see, like, how much will the Nuggets push for, you know, obviously they get first. You get home court throughout the entire playoffs, throughout the entire thing, except for the finals where Boston will have it if they make it. But I think both these teams won't be afraid to go into OKC, and I think they can knock them out. Minnesota, same way. We'll see how Minnesota fares in the playoffs, if Towns comes back by then. If not, what will Minnesota's offense look like? They get into those offensive droughts a lot of the time. Their defense will be there, but offensively, how will they look? You know, is Nas Reed and those guys going to take the next step? But, you know, that's just my thing with the Lakers, man. Like, I see so many people like, oh, Darvin Ham, he's a coach of the coach of the coach. I just think roster-wise, with the inconsistency and the injuries, I think that is more of what has kept the Lakers back than Darvin Ham, X's and O's, in-game adjustments. I just think it's roster, man.
Isn't it funny how – we had Trevor Lane on the show, CP, this offseason, where I was like, we – and KOC. I'm pretty sure KOC also said, like, you got to give the Lakers a lot of credit because they had, like, one of the best free agent or not free agent, but offseason moves because they added a lot of wing depth. They added another guard, Gabe Vincent, you know, to be like that Mario Chalmers, like defensive guy, play off ball, because that's how, you know, he was thriving with Miami. But it's just been a lot of injuries that the Lakers have had to deal with.
A lot of injuries, man.
To them, it's bad luck. But this is also kind of the thing where you watch a LeBron James-led team where there's so much turnover outside of like the main guys on that roster where it's hard to keep consistency in. This is where consistency matters for teams to make that trip back to the playoffs. And I think that we also have to take into consideration too when evaluating how the Lakers maneuvered, right? I mean, I think they still have enough talent. When you look at the top three, you got LeBron, AD, you also got Reeves. Reeves had a really good playoffs last year.
Yeah, he did.
It's the guy that you need to step up is D'Angelo Russell. Like, it's not even more so like Anthony Davis, because you said it, CP. Dude was balling out against the Nuggets. And let's remember, these games that they played against the Nuggets last season, it was not like they were losing by 10. These games came down to like 5 points. Yeah. They were right there for the taking. So it's just, do you get a little bit more from D'Lo? Do you get something from, you know, another role player that we saw the Miami Heat were able to capitalize in the Eastern Conference? For me, that's what the Lakers need. And I just don't see that happening from a role player standpoint. Maybe D'Angelo Russell surprises us. You know, he had a solid game last night. Maybe he surprises us.
Maybe, man. So let's see what happens there. Now let's get to Charles Barkley's comments on the play-in. Curious to think what you guys think about this and the overall coverage of Dubs and Lakers by the mainstream media. Here's Charles.
It's the West is going to go down to the wire. I mean, plain and simple. It's going to be fun to watch. You know, our sister network on the idiots on the other network keep talking about the Lakers and the Warriors like they got a chance. But listen,
they have a chance. It's called the play-in.
The play-in is not a real thing, just for the record. That's just something we made up, Shaq. It's just like the CBI tournament. That's what the Lakers and Warriors.
Oh, you go. You're already in college basketball. Man, it's CBI.
Just be making up stuff.
CBI is not.
They should thank Adam. They should stop. They should thank Adam Silver for making up some stuff. Hey, let's just add a couple of T-shirt playoffs so the Lakers and Warriors can get in.
Andrew, what's your thoughts?
I mean,
on that,
we're all in the sports media landscape. That's what you got to talk about, the Lakers. It just is what it is. If you're ESPN, he has to know that.
Yeah.
It's not that anybody's an idiot over there. Like, they know what they're doing. It's a business.
That's how these guys eat. Let's be
real.
Yeah.
Like it's not up to the individuals talking about what they're talking about, who makes the topics.
Yeah.
Like, so I really don't get it. And you think JJ Redick wants to talk about the Lakers every episode?
Right.
No, people want to follow their basketball curiosity, but you got to give them what they want too, right? You got to bring people in, and then you could talk about a little bit of everything, but you got to bring them in with the topics that people want to hear about.
People want to hear about
Steph Curry and LeBron James.
Yeah.
Like, they want to hear about them. So the Lakers are always going to be talked about, Charles. It's not about them being idiots. It's just the way it is. It's business.
It's absolutely just the way it is. And the way the sports media landscape is now is that, everybody's cord cutting and niching down into their respective interests. So Knicks fans are coming to Knicks Fan TV. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Lakers fans are going to Laker Nation. And they're coming here. They're coming to the NBA report as well. But what I'm saying is, on those respective channels, like we were saying in our interview combo, like, you're listening to what your audience wants. The audience will tell you what they want to see, and that is the content that you're creating. So for ESPN and TNT, they're not getting – they're getting a smattering of people, but they're also getting a lot of casuals that are tuning in. So that casual fan – they're not interested in, you know, the Sacramento Kings at in the seventh place. Are they not interested in, you know, what Dallas might be doing? Yeah, here and there. But overall, they want a star power. Is LeBron James at 40 years old? Can he do it again? They just went to the Western Conference Finals last year. Can he do it again? Stephen Curry, the greatest shooter of all time. Are they going to be back in the championship mix? Like, that is what the casual fan wants. That is what the NBA wants. And that is what they push to their media partners. You know what I'm saying?
100%. 100%. Al, what do you think?
I mean, I agree with all what you guys are saying. I mean, you just go to any ESPN page, right? Who they're talking about. You go to any NBA TNT page. See, you see all the casuals come through and be like, oh, Lakers, LeBron, Steph, right, all this, that, and the third, Giannis. Like, that's the stuff that's trending. But there's also a section that you guys noted of the niche content creators that are sought after. I mean, when you start seeing NBA podcasts and people want to learn about, you know, what's the Trailblazers' future, man? What do the Kings look like? You know, you think about the Memphis Grizzlies and, you know, just bringing the NBA fan base to that. Like, there is that section. There is fans that just love the NBA at large, yeah, and love learning about different players, teams, where they stand, and so forth. And, like, I feel like we're at the point where anybody's needs can be met. But you can say that what ESPN does caters to everybody, right? Yeah. The niche, yeah, the casuals, because you throw one thing out and it's like, oh, what do they say? And you get both sides of the reaction, right? You get the niche guy, and the niche person's like, this is so vague, it doesn't really encompass everything that we should probably discuss about whatever team. And then you have the casual like, Russell Westbrook's great, look at the triple double that he has, right? Right. I had a debate about whether Russell Westbrook is better than Chauncey Billups. I'm like, I'm going with Chauncey. People are like, but look at the numbers Westbrook's hitting. I'm like, okay, you clearly didn't watch Chauncey's career. You don't, yeah, know about Chauncey's career. You don't know how he came to fame, but you're going to just choose Westbrook. And there's no shade to saying Westbrook stinks or anything of that nature, but it's not an open debate. It's like numbers. I see numbers, simple for me to read. That's what I'm going with. But the one thing I can't stand with what Chuck said is that, oh, we created the play-in just to, you know, cater to like the LeBron James and Steph Curry, because that's just not true. Okay. I mean, we can go back two seasons ago where you had a young team and the Pelicans just pushed the Suns to get into the playoffs. And, yeah, that was fascinating. And then you create a rivalry and it's like, oh, next year, can we get that same rivalry? Right. I think we had a play-in where we had the Memphis Grizzlies face the Golden State Warriors, if I'm not mistaken. So like that type of stuff created more interest, right? You have Dylan Brooks at the time going back with Clay, and Clay going 1, 2, 3, 4, count my rings, right?
Yeah.
So you start getting some edgy chippiness over there. And then, look, last season was probably the creme de la creme if you're Adam Silver of what you wanted. The Miami Heat don't take the regular season lightly, and then get all the way to the NBA Finals through the play-in. They take out the Bucks, they take out the Knicks, and then they take out the Celtics, taking every team almost to the distance, right? And then you have the Lakers go all the way too, and to the Western Conference Final. And I think the fan base, if you just love just the parity in this league, right? You could be like, oh, anything can happen.
Yeah,
that's what we want. Anything can happen at this point. And that's where I think for Chuck that he's just so wrong on that, because that adds so much intrigue where you could have that same thing again this season. We just talked about the Warriors and the Lakers. If you tell me the Lakers get the Thunder first round,
yeah,
we just said the Lakers could wash OKC or just take them, right? Because of just the matchup. And now we're talking about, can the Lakers actually go on this run again? All they have to do is win one more series. They're back in the Western Conference Finals. And then you have the whole then casual fan base saying, do we get LeBron James back in another NBA Finals? And then it caters to everybody all over again. So I just feel like it's too much hate, man. Just love what we got, man. It's just growing. Yeah. Enjoy the new media.
Yeah. Speaking of new media, I mean, it's just going to get more and more like this, because back in the day, ESPN, like, it was either take it or leave it.
Right.
Like, we're talking about what we want to talk about, and you guys got to listen here because there's no other choices. And also with the algorithm thing, I mean, if ESPN don't play the algorithm game, it's going to be tough for them. So they know that's what goes on social media, and social media drives so much of this. So, I mean, Chuck, if you don't like ESPN talking about Lakers and Warriors, I mean, things aren't changing anytime soon, Chuck.
No time.
That's just who they're going to talk about.
No time soon. So interesting debate there. And I think, look, you just never know. Like you said, Al, you just never know. I thought last year the play-in was fantastic. Year before that, I thought it was pretty competitive. And then if you have a situation where you have one of these teams like the Lakers or the Warriors who do have championship pedigree, who do have the championship the veteran experience and a superstar, megastar talent with the coaching, hey, you could see upsets against younger teams, younger inexperienced teams like an OKC or like a Minnesota should those teams meet. And I think that makes for an intriguing playoff. And, hey, you never know. Knock on wood, you'd hope this doesn't happen, but injuries can happen as well. And then just like Miami and the Bucks with Giannis's back injury and Miami going on their run that they did. So I think overall the advent of the play-in has been good for the league. Obviously, revenue wise, hey, gets a couple teams some extra revenue at the gate, gets the league some more eyeballs a little while longer, maybe a week longer. And so overall, I think it is good for the game. So Chuck and those guys will be A-OK, and there that is. All right, we got to talk about the New Orleans Pelicans, guys. Pelicans don't look right now, but, look, last 10, they're 7-3 in their last 10. Top 10 in net rating, top 10 offensive rating, top 10 defensive rating. Shout out to Willie Green, who always has his guys ready to play. And the Pels are sitting pretty right now. Fifth place in the West. 1.5 games back of the Clippers, who are in fourth. And my Clips are kind of, they've been up and down recently, man. Post-All-Star break, they've been kind of shaky, hanging on. But the Pels are surging, man. Andrew, what do you like about this team right now?
Yeah, maybe James was outside too much for that All-Star weekend.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He might have been. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they just played the Clippers two nights ago, and it was really impressive to see Zion play that way. And he's been playing really solid the entire year, going right at their bigs and just screaming, like, you can't guard me. Like, if you think this guy isn't passionate about the game, I mean, just watch that game. And everybody wants to talk about him when he's out of shape, when he's not playing well. And we always say it, like, availability is the best ability, right? And he's been playing 56 games this year.
56.
And he's attacking the rim. Like, the numbers aren't quite as grand, but he hasn't been playing as much, too. So that's part of it. He's such an underrated ball handler and passer. I mean, the way he attacks in transition.
Yeah.
He's an all-star level player. Maybe he won't be the face of the league at this point, but he's an all-star level player, and he's playing really well. And we should talk more about Zion Williamson when he's playing well, because we always talk about him when he's not playing at all.
Great take.
Yeah. To that point, Andrew, like, he's just got to be consistent and be on the court, right? Mm-hmm. And just be out of the media limelight for the wrong reasons. So, and like, he could be very well deserving of just getting that spotlight and being the dominant player that we know he can be. It's just the inconsistency of being on the court and the off the court, like, not even necessarily issues, just, just the little drama that's like, oh, why is he out in Portland right now? Ah, who's he dating and all that type of stuff. It's, stuff of that nature where he is very well much worthy of being in that limelight. Just be on the court more than you are off the court. And like, you see it, as you noted, he's on the court, dominant guy, can't stop him. And this is what Pelicans want to see. It's the Zion Ingram experiment just thriving. But what are your feelings about them in the playoffs, man? Do you got the confidence in these guys that they can actually make some noise in the playoffs? Or is this just, we're just enjoying the regular season, the playoffs come along, and then this team just crumbles?
So I think the defense has been better, the shooting's been better, and those two things are really important in the playoffs. Do I think they're legit title contenders? Probably not, but I think they could definitely do some damage. CJ, he's somewhat of an up-and-down season, but dropped 30 last night on his former team. Yeah, I don't think that's a team you want to play with. B.I. playing well and Zion playing well. And if C.J. comes to form, him playing well, Herb Jones, great defender. Like, he's going to muck it up on that side. We talked about the game gets more physical. So I think, this is a team you might not want to play. Now, do I think that B.I. and Zion could lead you to a title? I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Can one of those guys be your 1A guy and lead you to a championship?
No, because I think they have to show that they can elevate the team. Not just as scorers, but as playmakers. I think that's a big swing skill. B.I., I think you kind of see what he is, which is still a great player. But for Zion, I think that's a big swing skill for him, especially in the playoffs. Like, teams are going to try to guard up against him just trying to muscle his way through. Like, eventually he's going to have to make plays, that's going to really bend the defense and make his teammates better to really elevate the team. But shout out to Willie Green. Case in point, you talked about that Clipper game. They had Zion at the point. in
that's
that, in
what
that
I'm
game.
Saying. So and what if you up what? Point. So what if you up his minutes in the playoffs and you go with point yeah. Zion a lot?
I think that could be a sign for the future. Yeah. Like they
hey,
could
he's
really
20,
be
he's 23
to see,
CP, right? 23 years old. Yeah,
I think
yeah.
they could really be trying to see like what will happen here if we put this guy at the point here and run mm-hmm. this thing through him. And how does this impact us? I think it's a you know an experiment not just for the now but for the future as well.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, like, if he can, and that's like a good opportunity for him to become that playmaker, right? Running him at the point, because CPT, what you're saying is that to be that playmaker, you have to have the rock in your hands, and that only way you're going to do that is if you're given more opportunities to, you know, execute in tight pressure situations. So could he grow? He's 23, as Andrew noted. So he has, what, until he's 26, 27 to start entering his prime? If you could learn those skills now, that'd be great. And that's kind of why you have CJ McCollum there. He's there to be that guy to orchestrate, facilitate, and kind of guide these young guys in Ingram and Zion to be those players. I think Zion can be that 1A that you could rely on. He definitely has the talent. He definitely has the skill set to do so. I mean, you watch him when he gets into his playmaking bag, he can make those type of passes.
Yeah.
He's more than capable of doing so. But once again, is he going to be on the court? Is he going to be consistent? Is he going to take it seriously? Because often than not, it's like, also his press game conference is like, I don't know if I can buy into what Willie Green, like he may right. not say Willie Green out there, you know, outright, but it's like, you're essentially saying, can you buy into what Willie Green's selling you to be this good team? And that type of stuff doesn't, if you're just watching and on the outside in, maybe it's different if you're in the organization, but to hear that as an outsider, it's like, I don't know if I could take you seriously to be that guy to lead it all the way. There's some maturing that needs to do. There's some maturing that he needs to go through.
Man. Mamba mentality is what I
need. Well, there's only one guy. Not, I should say one guy, but there's one guy who could be the face of the league that has that mentality, and that's Ant-Man.
That's why I believe that's so. Why I think he's going to be the guy. But that's it, man, for Zion. It's like, yo, like LeBron's on his way out. Steph is on his way out. Like, the league is for the taking. If you want it. The league is
maybe
for the tape.
Maybe it's Andrew's guy. Maybe it's Tatum.
Now, the one thing I will say for the Pels.
He's not even the face of his team. Jaylen Brown's the face of that team.
But wow.
The one thing
Celtics
I will
fans
say,
about to get in your mentions, boy.
The one thing I will say about the Pelicans, and it kind of fits into the Clippers' inconsistency down this stretch, is if they finish in that 4-5 matchup, I think that is still a favorable matchup for them in terms of playoff success. Yeah, the Clippers will have that depth, but I think they can still be beat. And then you never know. Same thing with the Lakers and Golden State. I think it's the same thing with the Pelicans. If you can avoid the Nuggets, let's say the Nuggets don't capture that one seed, and you go 4-5 against the Clips, you win that matchup, you go up against OKC or the Thunder or the Timberwolves, another winnable series. And next thing you know, you got Nuggets and Pelicans in the Western Conference Finals. Never know. It's a good builder. Well, one thing I can say is, hey, give Willie Green his credit. He's continuing to have these guys playing at a great level. Like I said, top 10 in net rating, offensive rating, defensive rating. It's a good coach right there. Not afraid to pivot, experiment, and make those in-game adjustments, man.
Ooh. Willie Green, great basketball coach, and CJ, great leader, which is probably has something to do with their success as well.
True.
So shouts
true
to both
indeed.
Of them for sure.
True indeed,
absolutely.
Man.
And I'm saying oof because Flizzy Flex in the chat, shout out to you for always being in here.
Flizzy says, Flex never misses a show.
Pelicans are food. Everybody wants to play them.
Mm. Mm. No faith. Okay. No faith. No faith. Man. Okay. Shout out to Flizzy Flex. And so to everybody who tapped in with us today, man. Great show. Great show. All the mods, man. Great show, Alex. Great show, Andrew. For me and Alex, that's it for now. We'll be back on Knicks Weekly on Knicks Fan TV at 10 o'clock. And, yeah, man, Combo, what do we got coming up this week, man? Or do, let the people know what you had this past week and what you got coming up next week.
Yeah, Miami Heat shooting coach Rob Fodor. Go check that out. Jason Timp, still some stuff that's really
Jason
good
Timp.
On there. The episode before. And I think me and you got some stuff coming out, too.
Yeah,
so
we got to get that out there.
we got, you know, the people got to be on the lookout. Not only the NBA report, but Knicks Fan TV should be seeing some of that as well. So I'm excited to see everything that's coming up for all of us.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah, great job as usual, man, for all you guys watching. Appreciate you guys for tapping in. Remember that this show's available in audio podcast format, man. No reason to miss it. Catch us on all major podcast platforms. And do us a favor, man, as we try to grow this wave on the NBA report. Like, share, subscribe. Very important. Hit the like button when you come in here or before you leave. Share this video on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, whatever it is. Text somebody. Each one makes a difference. And subscribe. Subscribe to the channel, man. Leave us a comment with your thoughts. Lash, what's good? I see you, Soldier Slim. Appreciate it. TM, appreciate it. DeMario Montague, appreciate it. Agent Super Argo, definitely appreciate it. Shout out to AP Jamaica Queens 22. See you guys later, man. Peace.